We talked a few weeks ago about the risks that God took coming to a rebel world. We talked a little bit about the risky prayer that Peter prayed and then got out of that boat. That's pretty serious. Get out of the boat when it's like, I mean, I'm good with that if there's a bunch of sand there. And we talked about last week about storming the Philistine garrison of 20-some men with two guys. That's pretty risky. That's a risky decision if I ever heard one. Today, we want to think about risky sacrifices. I appreciate Don getting the crowd warmed up for me here. Because he talked a little bit about those animals there. Talked a little bit about the fact that when they came on the ark, how many animals were there of the unclean animals? Two, one pair, right? And then how many of the clean animals?
Seven
pairs, probably. And so what? How many cows does that make? 14 cows. Now let's just assume for a minute, that all those cows were pregnant and had a baby while they were on board. And in fact, let's assume that each cow, I have no way to know this, but just let's assume that they were pregnant with twins, just to make it as many as we can here. So seven cows, each pregnant with twins. How many more is that? 14 more, plus the original 14, we have 28 cows. So we were on our way here this morning from my house. We go through that University Boulevard, that new road there where they're putting in the new university, you know. Did you know there's property for sale on that road? Property, man, wouldn't it be neat to have a church building? Anyway, so there's fields out there with cows on them, and I had the kids count the cows out there, and so they're counting cows, and there were like 21 cows in the field. And they were real easy to count. There weren't very many cows there. You could easily count out 21 cows, 28 cows, maybe, on the ark, we'll say, maybe. Now think about that, and then think about getting out of that ark when the whole world's supply of cows is 28, and make a sacrifice. How long were they on that ark anyway? How long were they on there? Let's take a look at chapter 8. Chapter 8, 13 and 14 there. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month. When did he climb on that ark? How old was he? 600, right? And he gets off in when he's 601. So he was on that ark for what? For a year. And then it says, that was when the waters of the were dried up from the earth, and Noah removed the cover of the ark and looked, and indeed the surface of the ground was dry. So he, at the end of a year, he took the top off, I guess, and looked out there, and everything was dried up. Then verse 14, and in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dried. So after 1 year, he takes the top off, he looks out there, and then it's almost two full months that he's sitting there looking. Now, what are these animals in there doing? Yeah, and I'm thinking to myself, God, can we open the door, please? How about just open the door? We're good with that, right? 2 more months after everything's dried up, he's still sitting in there 2 more months after already being in there a year. Yeah. Those animals were preserved at a huge cost to Noah. And to get out and say, yeah, let me just sacrifice one of these lambs, one of these doves, one of these turkeys, one of these deer, one of these buffalo, one of these everything that was clean. After I worked so hard to make sure that they're all safe and sound, now I'm going to take them out and sacrifice them. Just put them on the altar and burn them up. And there were how many of them? Maybe 28 cows? Who knows? I'll have to watch the video when I get to heaven. Yeah? I want to watch a bunch of videos when I get up there, huh? Watch what happened. I want to see the walls of Jericho come down. I want to see all that stuff, man. I'm gonna roll it back and look. I used to think it was videotape. Now I'm sure it's a DVD, you know? And so here he was. He took one of every clean animal. And let's see. I remember something about a crow or something. Wasn't there something about a crow in this story? What'd the crow do? Crow went out, said, no way, no way, man. Right? And then he sent out what? Sent out the dove. The dove flew around for a little while. Nothing, right? Then the dove, what? Comes up with what? The olive leaf, right? That's all he could get was one little leaf off an olive tree. And you're thinking to yourself, olive tree. Right? Because I don't think there were too many olive trees that were like trees, you know? I'm thinking trees. Well, they were only a year or so old, right? So they weren't much. What are they going to eat when they get out there? What are they going to do? How are they going to manage? And yet, let's see. Let me take one of my 28 cows. Kill that thing. Think about the risk involved in that sacrifice. Think about what he was giving up there. Think about the fact that here he spent all that time taking care of these animals. There's only a few left. There's no grass hardly out there, no trees, no nothing, and I'm going to make this sacrifice. That's pretty risky, don't you think? But he was willing to make that sacrifice. To God. He was willing to step out in faith that God, who had preserved him in the ark, was going to take care of him when he sacrificed. And having done that risky sacrifice, there was a great reward. Look at verse 21 of chapter 8. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. Although God recognized men weren't perfect suddenly, right? Although the imagination of his heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. And so God had a blessing there when he did that sacrifice. God didn't hand him a 5-pound bar of gold. God didn't hand him a pile of dead presidents. Right? He gave him blessings in another way. That's a sacrifice. I want to think about another sacrifice. 1 Kings. Turn with me to 1 Kings. 1 Kings, are you with me? Chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 7. 1 Kings 17, 7. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up. What brook was it? Yes. And it dried up because there had been no rain. Prophets and Kings tells us that it had been many months. Many months. So this had been going on for a long time. And then, in the midst of this drought, in the middle of the drought, as it's been going on, as stores have been going down, as the people have been getting worse and worse and worse off, God sends him to somebody else. Now, you might think to yourself, why didn't God send him to somebody while that person had food, and then to the brook when there wasn't food? I'm really glad God doesn't operate the way I might. You know, God's a pretty bright guy. And so he sends Elijah where? To Jerusalem, right? No. To what? Bethlehem. No. Jericho? Where did he send him? Out of Israel. Out of Israel. Sends him, oh, to this guy who's got tons of money because he's got all kinds of people around him, right? No. Who? A widow woman. How's she going to make any money? And so sends him to the widow. Take a look at verse 12 now. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, notice the Lord your God. She could tell what kind of God he worshiped, almost by looking at him, I expect. I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little jar or a little oil in a jar. So, I don't know. Is that about a handful? I raided my wife's cupboard while she wasn't around, see? She's busy taking care of my daughter, so I can steal it. Is that about a handful? That's a really big handful. Yeah, probably a really big, since my hand's only about that big. So can you imagine you making your last meal out of this? Your last meal. Oh, but wait. It's not just your last meal. It's for you and your son. So... that for two people? Is that two people's worth of food, do you figure? I don't think so, do you? And so here comes Elijah. He comes up there, and then he says, in verse 13, Elijah said to her, do not fear, go and do as you've said. Okay, go and make your last meal. Go and make your last meal. And I'm sure she's thinking as he's talking, you're reading ahead, but she wasn't able to do that. So listen, she's thinking, okay, I can go make my meal. And then he says that gigantic word, but, yes. Then he says, but make me a small cake from it first. What? Make me a small... wait, this is already a small cake, my friend. What are you talking about here? It's already a small cake. And you want me to make one for you first and then still have some left over? Let's see here. I don't know. That's not much there. Make me a cake first and bring it to me. So wait, not only do you want me to make your food first, then you want me to bring it to you. And then he says, afterward, make some for yourself and your son. what is this lady thinking, you know? What could she possibly be thinking in her mind as she hears him suggest this? What a sacrifice she's willing to make because she goes and does it, right? Partly because she got to hear the rest of it, right? Where in verse 14 he says, "For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." And so here's this lady making this risky sacrifice of giving to him first and then taking care of herself and her son. But there's also a great promise. Risky, risky sacrifice, but a great reward. Now, I want to think about something just for a minute. Noah was out there with all the cows in the world there were. Maybe 28. I don't know, maybe cows back then could have triplets or something. I don't know. Anyway, it weren't very many cows. This lady has a handful of meal. That's all she has left. Are we talking about increase here? Are we talking about increase here? Are we talking about them having gotten a windfall profit from their business or money from their job or any of those kind of things? Or are we talking about the very last that there was? We're not talking about the thousands and thousands of cows that were on the hills that died in the flood. We're talking about the 28 that were left, or whatever it was. We're not talking about all the grain that that lady had ground into flour before the drought. We're talking about the handful she had left at the end. So I'm not talking about tithing when I talk about this risky sacrifice. Tithing's good. I'm obviously not going to say that you should not tithe because it's Bible. But I'm not talking about that today. I'm talking about a risky sacrifice. We know that's not a risky sacrifice when we return to the Lord what's already His. Right? I'm talking about what God will do for us. Take a look at the back of your bulletin for a moment. Back of your bulletin, down there at the bottom, you see that weird little mark down there, bottom right-hand corner, right? That's about Adventist giving. If you take a picture of that with your cell phone, you can use that QR code to give that way if you'd like. But just above that, you see church finances there, church budget target goal each month, $6,514. Received to date, $2,333.32. Man, somebody should have given another penny. Then it'd have been 233333. It'd have been great. For a number of months there, we have met our goal there. We have matched our budgeted amount there. And the Lord has been good to this church because of your faithfulness, because of your sacrifice. And I want to thank you and encourage you to continue to do that. But to be honest with you, I'm still not talking about money, frankly. That's all good. It's important, you know? But it's not just about money. It's got to go deeper than that, brothers and sisters. God wants more than His hand in your pocket. God wants Him in your heart. This is about heart. You see, if I owned a house, like somebody up here was quipping that one of those houses was the pastor's house, you know? Probably not. I think y'all, enough of you have been around my house, you know that's not the case. And now with these three at my house, woo, yeah. Ah, yeah, it's a tornado in that place, man. So don't come over today. If we had a ton of money, great, we can give a ton of money and hardly notice. I've thought about some of these billionaires, you know, own houses like that, right? If I had $1 billion, if I had $10 billion, if I had $10 billion, if I gave away $1 billion and I had 10, now I only have 9, only 9 billion. Would I know any different? Would the broccoli taste different if I had 10 billion instead of 9? You know what I mean? That wouldn't make any difference. It's not about the money. The money is only evidence of what's going on in here, right? The money is only evidence of what's going on inside. God's interested in where your heart is. What's happening with you? Do you love? That's the key. That's the key. And so it's not just about money. It's about total stewardship of your whole life. If I was out there making a ton of money with my MBA and I gave half of it away, but never came to church, never went out to do anything for anybody in the neighborhood, never helped anyone personally, I might be a nice guy. I might be a nice guy. But my heart's not in the right place. Because I'm not giving back to the Lord the life He's given me. He's lent this life to me. I owe it back to Him. And so we're talking about full stewardship of your life, your time, your talents. Talents right up here today. We heard them, right? We heard them right here today. Talents. How are we using them for God? Our time. If I don't give my time to God, what can I really say about myself, right? That's what we're talking about. We're talking not just about money. Money's part of it, but time, talents, all that makes you you. We're talking about these things, and let me tell you why. Let's go to Revelation. Let's go to Revelation. We described in each of those cases, Noah and the widow, we described for you the difficulties that they endured in order to make the sacrifice at the end that had almost nothing. When they had nothing left, when everything was against them, yet they made the sacrifice. Let's take a look at Revelation chapter 13. Are you with me? Revelation chapter 13, verse 15. Revelation 13 and verse 15. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and... Wait a minute. So far, no problem. We got a beast. He's got a little power. He can make this image do some cool stuff. Ooh, but it's these next words that's real tough here, huh? Are you with me? Revelation chapter 13, verse 15. That the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be 20 lashes with a wet noodle. Not exactly, right? We're talking about to be killed. Killed like dead even. That's pretty killed. Right? Verse 16. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. Verse 17, and that no one may buy or sell. Brothers and sisters, this does not sound like we're going to be rolling in prosperity. We're not talking about a prosperity gospel here. I'm talking about giving when you're down to your last handful. Am I making sense here? I'm talking about a risky sacrifice. It's no risk if I have $9 billion or $10 billion to give a million. I won't live any different. I'll live just as richly on $9 billion as I will $10 billion. There won't be any difference. Nothing tastes different. My car won't run any better. Everything's just the same. It's risky when you give when you don't have much. Right? That's when you're down to the last handful in the barrel. That's when it makes a difference. And so here we are, down at the end. This beast can kill. He can cause a mark. He can cause you not to buy or sell. And that's when God says, are you for real? Are you for real? Are you willing to make a sacrifice? Right now, it didn't cost us a whole lot to be here today, to declare to the world that, yes, I'm a follower of God, and more than that, I'm willing to show up on Sabbath. Because that's what this mark is all about, right? And so I'm willing to declare myself for God and for the sign of allegiance to Him. Am I willing to make the sacrifice when things are tough? When I'm down to the last handful of faith I have? When we're down to the last handful of time, am I willing to make the sacrifice then? It's a risky sacrifice. Take a look at chapter 12. Chapter 12, beginning with verse 7. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, and they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world. He was cast to the earth. Whew. And his angels, hey, he wasn't even alone. His angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. Where was he cast down to? Oh, great. Now we got him all to ourselves. Aren't we lucky? This doesn't sound like prosperity. But are we willing to make the risky sacrifice when there's trouble? Look at verse 11. Verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. How did they overcome? Blood of the Lamb, word of his of their testimony. But then, you know, we don't really like this next part of that verse. We're really cool on this victory thing. Blood of the Lamb, word of their testimony. We're good with that. But it's that last part of the verse that's, ooh, yeah, that's where it gets a little tight, huh? Take a look. And they did not love what? Their lives. How far? To the death. Are we willing to give the last of our flower to God? That's the real question. It's not whether you're willing to give when you have a ton, or even, and frankly, in this country, we pretty much all have a ton. You know? Truth is, we're all pretty well off compared to the rest of the world. You know? Remember how we talked about kids dying because they don't have a simple cup of cold water. Next week is World Water Day. World Water Day. We are rich simply because we can drink clean water. Thank you, Don. You know? But Don owes that to God too, right? We are all depending on God, and He has blessed us so tremendously. Are we willing to make the risky sacrifices for God? Ah, but what a reward. Revelation 15, verse 2. Revelation 15, verse 2. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire. And those who have the victory over the beast. Remember, we talked about the victory just a moment ago and how we get it. Over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name. We just talked about those. Standing where? On the sea of glass, brothers and sisters, having harps of God. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God. What an awesome privilege is ours. What a reward. We might think we're giving up the last little bit that we have. We're giving up the last handful in the barrel, but it's doing that that preserves us through the drought. And I'm not talking about pie in the sky, oh, years from now, maybe your kids will have to deal with it or your grandkids will have to deal with it. Brothers and sisters, we are in the last days now. When are we going to prepare if we don't prepare now? Do we honestly think that, oh, yeah, when we get down to those days, oh, yeah, I'll be faithful. Yeah. Not now. I can't really afford it now because I got to think of the future. What did the widow have to think about? I want to consider with you the risky sacrifice of giving to the Lord everything you have. Last time I checked, you're not taking it with you, are you?